Welcome, sports fans, to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens from Independent Handicapping Forum.
From the world of losing bets.
No, from Independent Handicapping Forum.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. So, Josh, we were just talking, you know, we're kind of talking before we came on the air about last night's game, the Vikings and the Rams and how good the Rams looked. You know, I want to add a couple things like that too, Josh, but you're right. The Rams to win the Super Bowl right now are 3-1.
Okay.
So it's 3-1, and then let me go back here real quick and see what they are to win the division. No, we don't want to see, what are they to win the NFC West? There it is. Oh, that's just to win the division. Who's going to win?
Okay. Well, their number, their win total was criminally under.
It was like 10 and a half.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I had that team on 13 wins before the season, and it's still positive it's going to happen.
Here's a criminal wager. You can still get the Rams to win the NFC West at plus 150.
Who else is involved here?
Wait, it's the NFC West or NFC? Because who else?
That can't be true.
Yeah, who's going to win the NFC West? The Seahawks?
Excuse me. Okay, you're right. Hold on. Okay. To win the
because I was going to jump out of here and go to the window.
You're going straight to the window. To win the NFC East. Where the heck is it? It's not even
West.
Up here. They don't have it.
They might even win the NFC East. They're that good.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, we'll find it. But I was with you. Now that you say it, they're, I think you're right, Josh. They're going to be plus 150 to win the NFC and to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl and plus $3 to win the Super Bowl.
They're probably minus 2,000 to win the West.
Yeah, I know. It looks like it's an out price. Nick hasn't even put it out there.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about the game, what we saw last night, because I kind of want to get your guys' opinion. You know, let's go back to the week before this where the Vikings got dismantled at home. You know, I kind of view this as –
by your Buffalo Bills.
By your Buffalo Bills.
Well, your Buffalo Bills, actually, Josh.
Exactly.
You a Bill fan?
Well, I grew up in Buffalo. I was born there.
Nice. Yeah. All right, good deal. So with that being said, I think that the Vikings probably spent that whole week before the Bill game – preparing for the Thursday night game. I really think that, you know, they probably didn't.
Good point.
Huh? They probably didn't spend 100% of the time focusing on the Bills.
No way.
Maybe a 60-40 split, a 70-30 split, where 70% was going to the Rams on Thursday and 30.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
30 to the Bills. And so, the reason I'm bringing up this point, guys, is because obviously teams aren't ever as good or as bad as they looked the previous week.
Yeah.
You know, and you go out and you see Minnesota just get dismantled by the Buffalo Bills. And my theory is this. Exactly what I just said. So now you have a wounded dog in the Vikings, and they went up there, and they probably would have beat any other NFL team on Thursday except the Rams. They played their butts off.
Yeah.
They played as hard as they could. The Rams just are just too much yeah. better of a football team for them to compete with. So my point here is that's how good I think the Rams are. I mean, I think you got the best shot of the Minnesota Vikings, and they scored – how many points they end up scoring? 40. It ended up being a 7-point game.
Yeah.
But my point is they just dismantled them. And so you got a supreme effort from the Minnesota Vikings, a wounded dog, and the Rams still handled them.
Yeah, Ken, I agree in the sense that I was a little slow to warm up to the Rams, but I've seen them a couple times, especially last year.
38-31.
You know, it felt like, you know, everything kind of fell in place for them. But when they lost to the Falcons in the playoffs, it seemed like, well, there was a way to kind of foil what they were doing. You know what the Falcons did? They were determined to stop the run. They crowded the line of scrimmage, held Gurley to 30 yards, and they came up tight in coverage, and they just basically dared Jared Goff to beat him deep, and he couldn't do it.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, the Falcons dominated that game, so I wondered, well, maybe the Rams, even though they got better in the offseason, like, well, maybe they still have some weaknesses. But I saw the first couple games, and to your point, Ken, that, yeah, I think, one, they took Buffalo for granted a little bit. We talked a little bit before about how Josh Allen, I think, you know, could be the best of the rookie quarterbacks starting right away. It was just kind of funny. During the preseason, for some reason, the NFL in here, the Bills were on, like, every week, and we saw him play, you know, I remember we saw him play the Bengals, the Browns, like, three different times. Every time you saw Josh Allen in the game, he was doing a lot of good things. And you didn't want to, you know, it was always against reserve, so you didn't want to read too much into it. It was like, maybe they're onto something with this guy. So in the NFL,
well, true. John Elway in comparison.
You know, well, he is. He's huge. He's athletic,
yeah.
You know. But, yeah, he ran for two scores against the Vikings, what he did.
What a great one.
Throws a rope.
Right. Hurdle the dude.
Right. And so, you know, that's the thing, though. In the NFL, you take any team for granted because any, you know, the worst NFL team has enough skill, you're going to lose. But, Ken, I thought it was, you know, I went back and forth on the Thursday game. And I ended up feeling like it was a lot of sentiment for the Vikings. I took it the other way. I thought, you know, I think this is actually a bad spot for them because I feel like Minnesota will be good in time, but this isn't a great spot. Coming off that big of an upset on short rest against probably the best team in the NFC, I was like, watch if – I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of get knocked out again. You know, they had a great start that was back and forth. I'll say this. I was a little disappointed with the push because I felt like – you know, if you had the Rams, you have at least a moderate case for bad beat. I mean, you miss a 25-yard field goal at the end, and you can't assume everything else would have stayed the same.
I was big on the Vikings last night, so I felt I had the right spot, the right team at the right spot coming in there. And you made a good point about that, about looking ahead to the Rams. I think you're right, but I was actually happy with the push.
I think that's what I'm saying, though. If you had the Vikings, you'd be a little bit relieved because I felt like, especially with the 7, I just felt like it was hanging out there.
I usually buy off it, too.
The 7 was sort of begging people to take the underdog there. And the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, watch the Rams roll them again. And I feel like despite some mistakes, and as Ken mentioned, the Vikings playing awfully well, it just shows you how much further ahead the Rams really are. And the Goff thing, let's not assume
he
that.
He threw some unbelievable.
It's clear that he can get better because Minnesota did some of the same things. That first long touchdown pass he threw, they were doing the same thing, throwing a blitz, tight coverage and see what happens. They did a little stop and go, and he threw the perfect diamond in stride.
Josh, he threw some unbelievable balls in tight situations. I mean, I was absolutely amazed by his accuracy and his ability to squeeze the ball into some tight windows.
I'm not even going to say who he reminds me of, but a skinny frame with that kind of absolute precision.
It's Brett Favre.
No, a guy up north in California, Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah.
That's who he reminds me of. He just does. I hate to say it, too, because I know that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
You know, Niner fans, sorry, but he just reminds me of him.
Yeah. I had a $100 four teamer, Josh and John. I played. I really didn't know what I wanted to play. And I was talking to Nick McDonavich yesterday, the lead trader for William Hill, and he said that he goes, man, we're just talking about the game. He goes, God, Ken. He goes, I really like this game over. I think it's going to be a shootout. I really think it's going to be a shootout. And so I go, okay, thanks. And then I talked to somebody else, and they really liked Miami. And so I thought, well, if Nick thinks that the Raider or the Rams game is going to be a shootout, I personally think all the points are coming from the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'll play Rams and over. And then my buddy that I respect, he said, I like Miami a lot. And I go, well, and I looked at the total. It was a low total. So I made a $100 four-teamer. Miami and over, Rams and over.
Beautiful.
Made it off the board. So I got the Rams at -7. So it reduced to $100 three. But I'll take it. So going back to what you were saying,
sure.
John. I mean, and that really wasn't even it wasn't like I shoved all in really thinking that I was going to have a chance to win it. But, a little entertainment value. And, Miami started slow. And then all of a sudden,
they exploded.
My goodness, they exploded.
I went to the NFL game and turned back to it, and I was like, what the hell just happened?
Typical North Carolina performance,
yes.
Too.
North Carolina getting ready to score, 83-yard interception return.
Oh, why did they even put – 22 is the kid last week. They beat Pitt. Nathan Elliott, the quarterback, had the game of his life, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. It looked like they finally had that settled, but that was a question mark. They're still always just Swiss cheese on defense. You never know what you're going to get. But it looked like at least they had the offense figured out. Why did they put the backup in? Chaz Surratt, he had through 2 pick sixes, even when – because I actually did a little teaser on Miami, or I should say North Carolina. I was hoping they would come in. So many good drives in the second half where, he was just looking at the Miami guy, throws it into his chest.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? What's the appeal? I guess he's a good, some of the Wildcat stuff, he's a good running threat. But, you already had, your quarterback situation apparently figured out. Why did you go to the other guy? But North Carolina, predictably, as usual, stay off of them.
Oh, well, look at this. Tulane to the front. 9-16 in the first. Tulane 6. Memphis 0.
Now, those
zero.
Are some sweet helmets on Tulane right there.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yeah, they broke out. I saw the thing last night online, Nike design. They broke them out just for this game.
Oh, that's sweet.
Let's talk about tonight. One game, like you said, it already kicked off at 5, Memphis and Tulane. Looks like Memphis is a 13-point road favorite, against Tulane. I think their passing defenses or their defense is ranked 120th out of 130 Division I teams. So you looked for this game to be a high-scoring game, and Tulane just jumped right out to the front. So if you're back in Tulane, you're getting 13.5, 14 points plus a touchdown. 21.
And some sweet helmets.
The game tonight, though, John, I'm going to lead with you on this because I know that you're kind of a Buffalo fan. Colorado playing UCLA.
I'm a full-fledged Buffalo fan. I'm not a kind of a Buffalo fan.
All right, you're a Buffalo fan. And
yes.
6 p.m. tonight, Colorado at home versus UCLA. Numbers 9.5, John.
So
9.5.
It's
Colorado hasn't lost. They haven't lost a game yet, have they?
No, they haven't. That's ambitious, 9.5.
Playing a Chip Kelly team?
That's the thing. Chip Kelly teams, they're going to get better and better and better as the year goes on, I think. But that's a rough spot going up to the altitude and playing a Buffs team that's really confident and really well coached and hot right now. I do like the Buffs there. 9.5, I wouldn't lay that, even though I just told you to. I think they get an easy victory. I don't know if they're going to cover that, though.
See, you want me to bet my money on it, not yours.
Yeah, I don't care about your money.
That's true. That's true. Josh, did you? I know you do write a lot of articles for Sportsline, and listeners, you can get all of Josh's articles at Sportsline. So, you know, he's just not a guy out here, you know, just throwing his opinions around. He puts them in print. You can find all his stuff at Sportsline. With that being said, and at Twitter at JoshNagel1. But anyways, Josh, did this game make it to your write-up column?
Thanks. Yeah, Ken, we did, you know, extensive previews on it and whatnot. But you asked me before, you know, we came on air here what I thought about it, and you know, I'd let you know if I had a strong side, but I don't. Particularly on this one, I just feel like it's a tough call because Colorado, I think, so far has been a little bit better, you know, than I expected. They had a lot of turnover, but the offense is going pretty well. And UCLA in recent years, even before the coaching turnover, they actually struggled, you know, when they went to Boulder. They've had a couple of poor performances there. And the Chip Kelly thing, it's sort of funny because sometimes someone's reputation precedes them, but then you wonder if you're putting too much faith into it. The point being is that they've already shown, you know, they've lost by 30 once this year already at Oklahoma. They're rebuilding, and this team isn't very good, but yet they do seem to, you know, show a few signs of progress each week. To me, it's just a tough call. I mean, if I had to, you know, jump in there, I'd probably take the points, but I'm just laying off because it seems to me with Colorado so far, you know, they play better as an underdog. They won that game outright against Nebraska the first week. They've been better, and then when that
God.
They blew out that rivalry game with Colorado State, who's obviously having a way down this season. So it's just one of those things. Like, I probably will jump in on the in game, but pregame -9, I just pass.
It's, you know, it's Montez. If Steve Montez doesn't turn the ball over,
throw it away. Right.
That's all it is, because he's veteran now. Very athletic. He's a really good quarterback. He runs a good system there. So if he can keep the ball with the black and gold, I think the Buffs are going to roll here.
So by the way, if you've seen the guy who – the reason I worried about Colorado a little bit is because they had such rampant turnover, with the exception of Montez, but they lost a lot of guys on both sides. But the guy who's their career rushing leader is really the heart and soul, Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Undrafted free agent. He's now the Broncos' leading rusher.
It's pretty amazing because there's been a lot of good running backs at that place and running quarterbacks at that. Kenny B.
I am. I'm actually listening. I'm actually talking to Nick McDonough right now. I'm trying to get his bets. So right now, my other buddy just got out of the hospital today. We wish him the best of luck right now. So, but Nick's just sending me his college slate and what he likes. So that's what I was looking at with that. There we go. We're back.
Are you gonna share it or?
Not on the air. I'll put some of them on Facebook, which you can like the show at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. So, you know, before we jump into the college, you know, and NFL slate real quick, John, listeners, I want to give out this baseball game because, you know, we talk about value and talk about spots to, you know, spots where you want to get your money in. There's a great spot tonight, John, and it's the Giants Dodgers game. And this
there
is. Pardon me?
I said there is. You said there's a great spot. There is.
There's a great spot in this Giants-Dodgers game. You know, the Giants-Dodgers always end up playing each other at the end of the year, and Dodgers are fighting for the playoffs. This is the playoffs for the Giants. Nothing they would like better to somehow sweep the Dodgers and keep them out of the playoffs. And you get Bumgarner tonight on the mound at +165. Goodness, John. At home.
There's a big history of these teams knocking each other out.
Yeah.
82, Giants knocked the Dodgers out, Joe Morgan home run. You go to 93, the Dodgers, or 91, Giants knocked the Dodgers out, Braves win the division. 93, 103-win Giants team gets destroyed on the last Sunday, and so on and so forth. So there's a big history. These teams, we know the Dodgers and Giants don't like each other. Bumgarner's going to treat this like he does a postseason game, I guarantee it. You're going to see his best effort. We're just talking value here. Obviously the Dodgers are the better team. Obviously the Dodgers have everything to play for here. The value, it's dropped 20 cents in the last 2 hours, by the way. It was 185 last I saw at about 2 o'clock. And there's just a lot of value with the Giants tonight. It's Willie Mack Award tonight, which is the most inspirational player. That's got to go to Hunter Pence. It's going to go to Hunter Pence. They're going to be playing with a lot of fire, a lot of fever tonight. There's a lot of value with the Giants. It's not just my heart talking here. They're going to bring it tonight as much as they can.
I can tell you right now,
this roster.
I'll be putting the Giants. I'll be putting that plus money in a parlay. I love to roll plus money parlays in baseball, especially when, you know, of course, like you said, John, this is a World Series for the Giants.
Yeah,
they're not
is.
Just they're not going to go out there like and evaluate AAA talent tonight.
No, no.
They're going out
they're going
to beat the Dodgers.
All they have is AAA talent, so they don't have any choice.
So, with that being said, so Josh,
against Ryu, by the way, who's no joke.
No, I agree.
It's, you know, they don't hit lefties well as it is. And in San Francisco, Ryu, he doesn't dominate, but he does well. So this is just a good value spot. Madison Bumgarner can let it all hang loose. Last start of the year, I really like the Giants to make some noise tonight. I don't know going forward, but I think tonight's the night for them to get a win.
Josh, you want to weigh in on that, on this game?
Well, just everything you described. Like I said, it sounds like the perfect value spot. That's what you're looking for, you know, down the stretch with baseball, is motivational spots for the teams that aren't going anywhere versus those who are. Like I said, particularly in a heated rivalry where the history just shows. I mean, whoever is headed to the playoffs versus the one that's having the down year, the down year team is a thorn, and it happens all the time.
With these two, it's just it's year after year when something's on the line. The last team you want to see is the Dodgers or the Giants. You just dread it. I have Dodger fan buddies texting me going, anybody but you, anybody but you. And, you know, the Cardinals lost today, so the Dodgers are still alive for the wild card just in case the Rockies end up winning that division, which is unfortunate. I don't like rooting for the Cardinals, but I'm doing it. So
and the Rockies have won, what, 7 in a row?
Yeah, they're just on fire right now. Nationals, they have the Nationals in town. Nationals are playing well. We're looking at probably Bryce Harper's last three games in a National uniform. So it's getting down to it. I'm rooting for the Rockies here. Of course, I'm a Dodger hater, but the point of the story is value tonight of the Giants.
Absolutely. So in that game, what time's that pitch?
7:15.
7:15. All right, good deal. Josh, how long do we have before break? Obviously Nevada plays Air Force tomorrow. We're definitely going to get to that game. How many games did you write up today this week, Josh?
A whole bunch of them, Ken. But I will say, you know, last week in the William Hill College contest, things didn't work out so great. We talked about some of those picks on the air. It's just I thought last week was one of those bizarre, you know, ones where I was just off a little bit on everything. But we talked about the Nevada Toledo game, and I was running out of picks. So technically, that was when I hit because I ended up playing Toledo. But
nailed it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into, like you said, the Nevada game a little more later on. But I just thought that was a discouraging performance where, you know, you give up that many points to still what I think is going to be kind of a, let's say, run-of-the-mill Matt Kim. Toledo's always good, but I don't think they're as potent as they usually are.
The block punt and that type of stuff, that if you eliminate that, give yourself a chance to win. It's that type of nonsense that'll kill you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head off to our first commercial break. We'll come back. We'll jump right into the college slate, then roll out the NFL selections. This is the Windmill Sports Show coming to you live from Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. He just saw Fresno versus Toledo. That's what you're looking at, dude.
I am. I'm just the people in this town are thinking we're going to beat Fresno State, and they're a 7.5-point favorite to a team that just dismantled us.
Yeah.
I know those two things are mutually exclusive, but I don't know.
All right, Josh, what do you let's dig into college football. I know you got some things circled on your sheet. I know you wrote some articles about some stuff, so I'm just going to kind of let you turn this segment over to you and let you lead into it.
Well, Ken, there's one matchup tomorrow I find pretty interesting, and on the early slate, 9 a.m. kickoff, so you turn on the TV, you'll find this game right away, but it's Clemson against Syracuse. I think it's kind of fascinating, right, because Clemson just settled their quarterback situation. They named the freshman Trevor Lawrence the five-star.
I'm surprised by that.
I figured it was just inevitable with the sense that he was the highest-rated recruit in the country last year, regardless of position. Yeah, the highest-rated quarterback.
I bet this game already
like
by the chance, by the way.
And it seemed like a matter of time. Now, I felt like Dabo Swinney, he was fair enough to Kelly Bryant, where he was the incumbent. He was in there last year. And in fairness, Bryant wasn't bad. So he said, well, we're going to have a fair competition. We're going to see how this plays out. But especially with the new transfer/redshirt rule that kind of favors the players and their mobility options. Right. You know, they put them both in there, and in fairness, for every single game, Bryant was in there at least the first few series, sometimes the whole first half. They'd stick Lawrence in there occasionally, and they'd rotate him from that point forward. But I think one good litmus test was, for instance, the Texas A&M game I thought was fascinating because they really couldn't get much going, you know, early on against the Aggies. They brought Lawrence in the first few drives. They got stalled. They got nothing. They brought Lawrence in there. His first pass is a 60-yard dart, back shoulder bomb. Hits the guy, and it's a touchdown. Amazing throw and catch. Yeah. The guy runs it in. One throw, 160-yard touchdown. It was crazy. You're like, look at this guy's skill. But it was funny, though. They kept Lawrence in. All right, this is great. He led a couple scoring drives. Before you know it, A&M, though, they tighten up the coverage. I guess what I'm getting at is suddenly on 3rd and 4 when there's no one open, that's when you want Bryant in because he can run it, and he's a real running threat.
Yeah.
They got to Lawrence a few times and realized if no one's open, you're punting because he doesn't really have that. Mm-hmm. So it was a good mix. I find it funny because I sort of had the idea, though, if you kind of combine Lawrence's skill set with Bryant's running, you basically had Deshaun Watson. He was the best of both.
Yeah.
So now you had to mix them up to get the combination of skill sets. But ultimately, it was pretty clear they were more productive with Lawrence on the field. And what made that decision was last week, Georgia Tech – game. That same thing was close early. Bryant had like three series where they didn't get anything. They put Lawrence in there, and he throws four first-half touchdowns, and they pull away. So that made it clear that he had to be the starter. With that four-game sample to give Bryant enough leverage to go elsewhere if he wanted to, Swinney announces they're going with him moving forward. So it's pretty widely reported. Bryant's upset about it. He decides he's going. That could hurt them a little. What I find interesting is that spread jumped when they announced that. Clemson opened 22. It's now at 25. I think it's interesting against Syracuse. I think the revenge factor is more so than anything because, remember, they lost to them last year. Clemson lost to Syracuse on Friday night. Right.
4-0.
And they have a pretty good offense and stuff. I still think it's a little bit of fool's gold. Like, they beat Florida State. Everyone got excited about that. You know, Florida State's way down. Right. Syracuse appears to be a little bit better on offense. But, you know, what's funny is last week they played UConn. By far the worst defensive team in the country. They're going from the worst defensive team in the country to the best.
Yeah.
And like, suddenly all those – Eric Dungy, who I think is great, but all those little rollout option things they do aren't going to get him as much mileage.
No.
So given all that, the revenge factor, they're settled at quarterback, as many points as this is, I still think – I have a feeling Clemson just smashes them.
I already bet Syracuse, just for the record.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
What number did you get?
24.5.
24.5? 24.5.
It was surprising to me just the style of quarterback that Lawrence is – In recent vintage of Clemson quarterbacks is not that, you know, and I know how highly recruited it was. I was just surprised they pulled the trigger instead of having some sort of competition. But I think you can give Dabo credit for giving Kelly Bryant that option. Now he can transfer. Now he can go and play another year somewhere else. And it's kind of reminiscent of the Alabama situation. You know, Jalen Hurst decided to stay, to his credit. But Clemson, if you're settled and he's your guy – Kenny, I don't know if there's enough points in this universe that I would take against that team.
Yeah, I valid
Clemson
points,
used to be my nemesis, no longer.
Valid points, guys. I think it's too many points. I really do. I waited on the dog. So, what else you got, Josh?
And so, and that one is interesting because you said I really play a favorite, that big, but it's just situational. But there's a couple. And one of the biggest moves of the week, which I think is interesting because this hits home for us, Nevada. Again, a team that has such a clear flaw. Nevada is so poor defensively, I just probably have to stay away. One of the biggest moves of the week, though, Air Force opened up -7, and that's down to 3.5, 4 most places. I think William Hill's dealing 4 now. So
I can tell you right now how to bet this game, Josh. There's a trend in this game.
Well, apparently there's been big enough money on the pack to move Air Force to a much smaller favorite, but I believe, given the matchup, I just find it interesting. We've seen higher-powered teams do pretty well, or Oregon State, teams that throw Toledo have the same thing where they do a lot of
what percentage chance do you give the Wolfpack of holding Air Force under 300 yards?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, especially so when
Zero.
You know Air Force is ground only, basically. Does the Pack have a chance to defend?
Do I sound like a Pack hater on the show all the time?
Do they have a chance of defending it? I'm curious.
Not basketball.
But let me make that clear to everyone. I love the Wolfpack with all my heart. I just am a realist about this type of stuff. They'll never stop Air Force. They never have. They never will. Air Force cannot stop us. What's this number, the total, Ken?
I need to
64.
64. Give me
a joke. It's a joke. Air Force.
Both these teams will be in the 40s.
Air Force is 1-2 this year. They're averaging 32.3 points a game. 32.3 points. So this is probably the weakest defense that they're going to play. So I look at this and I'm going, well, they're going to get their 32.
Yeah.
We're really going to stop them? 400 yards a game on average, 402 yards a game, 288 on the ground.
There you go.
288 on the ground. I mean, I just look at this, and if you want, on the flip side of the coin, Nevada, they're averaging 40 points a game on offense. They're average giving up 39.
Yeah.
So, I mean, both of these.
It's almost exactly what I said before the season. I said 41 and 39.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you some credit. It's 40.8 and 39.5.
That's 41 and 40, basically.
Yes.
But it's exactly – no, 42. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's – I don't know. The Pack cannot stop that offense. And Air Force always has those one or two trick throws down the field that they're gonna get caught with.
Yep.
But I think the Pack can score as well. I think it's 45-42 either way is what I think.
Yep. I'm with you guys. I mean, I look at this game, and it's just I don't see a way that this game can stay under, Josh. I mean, obviously
– There's no way it's
– Obviously, you want to make sure that there's no bad weather in Colorado Springs. You know, I mean, you weigh in on that, you know, because there's always that. I know John's grabbing
let's take a look.
But last minute bad weather, you know, is what I'm saying. You know, I'm curious with you, John. This why this huge move, Josh? I mean, why this huge move on the side?
I agree. I wish I could find the catalyst for that, because apparently the people who crunch their numbers, their power rating, whatever, decide the Air Force is too big of a favorite. And I get that, but it's one of those things kind of where you handicap and the eye test comes into play. And I've seen the bad enough times.
Right,
like I said, I think I basically want to stay away whenever some team, like we talked about, North Carolina is always bad on defense. Whenever a team has a huge flaw that can be counted upon, whether it's turnovers, poor defense, whatever, I just have to stay away. So I don't understand the big move on the side.
Kickoff partly cloudy, 76 degrees.
Oh, well, there you go. I think the game goes over. I'm with you guys. I think that they're going to be able. It's going to be a shootout. My iPad here froze up because I had the game all queued up and I was trying to just get rid of all this stuff. I got too much junk going. Maybe we'll try that. I'll get rid of all this junk and go straight back to this game. So go ahead, Josh.
Sure. Well, one other that catches my attention on the early slate is Oklahoma State against Kansas.
Where I bet this game already too.
I want to say it strikes me as a bit of a light number where, as with most teams in this rivalry, especially when Kansas steps up in competition, I mean, the Cowboys have owned them pretty good. And you realize if you've watched Kansas, they actually are way better than they normally have been. They won a couple games early, including at Central Michigan, their first road win in ages. They've turned things around a little bit, but I still had a
Who's
feeling.
Who's coaching them now?
A guy named David Beatty. He's not bad. He's actually done all right under the circumstances. But they come back. And last week I faded them. They were only 7.5-point dog against Baylor. And I said, you know what, this is just taking the Kansas thing a little bit too far because Baylor always owns them, and Baylor covered. And in this situation, I feel the same thing, especially I like the spot situation because OK State just got upset by Texas Tech. They're usually good coming off a
Destroyed.
Loss and they're inspired. And, yeah, they're going to want to, take those frustrations out. So I just see 17 normally in this spot, even with on the road. You see Oklahoma State laying 24, no problem. So 17 is a little bit light, and so I'd like the Cowboys a little bit.
I bet the Cowboys, Josh. There you go. I have this. I do have Oklahoma State queued up. I agree with you. I think Mike Gundy's going to have his team ready to roll, and they're going to go out there and they're going to get the win. You know, just they're taking this like you said, this Kansas thing a little bit too far. You know, with that being said, I like Oklahoma State in this game. I already bet Oklahoma State.
Go with the lettuce at all times.
That's right. Talking about Mike Gundy.
I'm talking about that hairdo.
My man Mike Gundy.
Follow him into the depths of hell.
I need to call him one of these days.
Call him. I'll call him.
I'll say, hey, you know Ken Barlow?
I'm 43.
I'm a man. Yeah, he's about your age when he first said it. So, Josh, what else?
No, I was just curious.
Call Ken Fat!
Did you see he was in the news again this week for a similar thing, Mike Gundy?
Let's see. Yes.
Well, his receiver, Jalen McCleskey, top receiver, for some reason decided to quit the team and or transfer. Nobody knows what's up with it. But Gundy had another standoff with the media, which I just think is bizarre. Because, like I said, aside from that infamous rant that he had, he's pretty good with the media. The one issue, though, that Mike Gundy clearly doesn't understand is that he can't control the media and, like, how they cover what they want to say about his team. But apparently he let down this ultimatum, which basically he said any member of the media, if you ask anybody on the team about McCleskey, you'll be banned from covering the team. He doesn't have that authority.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, though, his boss,
but he does,
the SID, whatever, is going to have to step
have
in there and stop
questions.
That. True, but he can't tell them that you can't ask this, you can't, you do this or that. Having said that, we talked about this many times in the past, like his whole rant or whatnot, and I've always said the genesis of his rant, I supported him 100%. The thing that he was fired up about was a terrible column that was completely unprofessional, and he had a right to go off the way he did. In this specific situation, I think he's wrong, but you can't, blackmail report, and it just doesn't work that way. Anyhow, he's back in the news for the same thing. So their best receiver did leave, having said that they've got Kansas outgunned for you.
Head-to-head, the Nevada game, over the last four games. Over. That the last four games.
Probably easily
is right. I'm looking at some of these other trends. With that being said, I bet Oklahoma State too, Josh. I got Oklahoma State in this game. I think it's a good bounce back game.
I'll have
my
teaser.
And then when you get Gundy,
I don't care if he's wrong.
When you get Gundy fired up about something, he's out to prove a point. He's not a guy that says, oh, we're going to take it easy on you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Back to Air Force. Air Force, in their last 37 games overall, Air Force, 25-12. So they play over. I'm just looking at these trends right here.
Because they're just so unique. And, I don't think the elevation's big for a team like Nevada coming from 46,000 to whatever they are, 53,000. But that's a factor with other teams, and we don't have the ability to stop that system. We just don't.
The Pac's last 13 conference games, 9 have went over.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's just the trends are there, guys.
Both teams want to play over. Both teams want to play fast. Different styles, right. Obviously.
Josh, John, the reason this number is coming down, it's not because they think that our defense is going to step up and be able to stop Air Force. It's they think that we're going to be able to score.
Yeah.
One of these teams is getting 40 points, Josh. What's the total?
64.
One of these teams is getting 40 points.
Fair enough. Like I said,
both of them are.
I'd rather play the total than the side in this one.
I'm going to push all in, man. I kind of was leaning towards this.
And Nevada's going to win.
I
think they're going to win.
I can see that. I can see that.
Just their ability. I know, you know, Air Force is pretty methodical with the way they go about it. With the Pac's quick strike ability, I expect big things from them. Like I said, I think it's 45-42, and I think it's going to be Nevada.
All right, Josh, real quick before we head off to our next commercial break. Throw me another game out real
sure,
quick.
Sure. I thought we should probably discuss the big marquee matchup tomorrow. That's Ohio State at Penn State.
Yes.
You might remember the last few years this has played a big part in who gets a playoff berth, the Big Ten title. Last year, a crazy game at Ohio State, right? Ohio State down 19 points in the fourth quarter. Miracle comeback to win it by one. Penn State, that one slipped through their hands. They should have won that. Penn State probably is in the playoff. A couple years ago, though, Penn State gets in the way. Ohio State was probably headed toward the playoff. And they actually made it, but Penn State was a 17-point home dog, won that game. So this has become kind of the fancy new rivalry in college football. Ohio State, tomorrow, 4:45 kickoff our time. Ohio State -3.5, over-under 71. I'll tell you what, I'm a little...
First game back for Urban?
Second. He was there last week. So
That's right.
I find this one difficult to handicap a little bit. I mean, Penn State's a live underdog, no doubt about it. If I had to pick a side, I'd probably go Ohio State. But, Ken, the thing, you're talking about totals, that's where I find some value here. And believe it or not, kind of like the under, these two teams rank 1 and 2 in the country in scoring, but, you know, they're beating up on, you know, nobody's, right? I mean, Penn State's, you know, they're getting 63 against Kent State. Ohio State's beating up Oregon State, all those non-conference. So I feel like it's already gone from an opener of like 68 all the way up to 71. Everyone's taking it over like nobody's business. But what you don't realize with these two teams, as prolific as they are in offense, they have great defensive players, right?
Yeah.
So when they play each other, they're not going to score 40 each, I don't think. Now, big play offense is going to be in play because Ohio State can take it the distance. All their skill guys can. You know the manner in which Penn State operates, their little run-pass plays with McSorley. It seems like someone breaks open down the field all the time. There will be some big plays in the game. But between the lines, I think you'll see some solid defense, Ken. And at 71, like, man, if this one goes 34-31 and you get an under, I'm going under with it.
All right. He likes an under in this.
They call Trace the Wizard of Camelot or something like that. He has some ridiculous.
He does.
Yes.
You know, he could win. I also say this. Hey, I do believe that kind of a side angle to watch. There's kind of a Heisman eliminator between Trace McSorley and Dwayne Haskins. Both are behind Tua, who's the clear favorite now. But these guys are like 2 and 3, and you know how it goes sometimes. It becomes single elimination, and who keeps winning?
What about Kyler Murray from Oklahoma?
Kyler Murray could come out of nowhere and get it. He could.
Yeah. All right. We have to get off for our next commercial break. We come back, we continue talking sports. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Dangle from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens from Independent Handicappers, Inc.
Yeah.
Josh, so we talked a little bit about college. Let's jump into the football or the pro football stuff right now, Josh. I'm kind of get you guys' thoughts on all of this entire slate. Patriots at home. Patriots laying 6.5 against the Dolphins. The total in the game is 47.5. You know, is this the
Patriots will get that on their own?
Yeah, that's where I was headed with this. You know, Miami, you know, the 23rd ranked defense in the NFL, giving up 324 yards a game, and you still have the Patriots. You know, coming off, I don't know what happened last week in Detroit. That's all I can say. Josh?
Yeah, I don't either. You're right. It's one of those things in recent times, though, the Patriots have kind of done this. When they start slowly, they've had a couple, even last year, right? I believe they had a couple losses early. They've ripped off about 11 in a row. It's one of those things. I'm sure they'll get it together in time. They still are hurting from, you know, offensive standpoint with getting some weapons in place and whatnot. But I feel like them against Miami is the ultimate get-right game because the Dolphins have been a little bit better than expected. it goes to show you, because I looked it up earlier today, how much respect Miami's getting in this spot. Because the last time they played at New England, the Dolphins were plus 18.5 yeah. from the end of last year, almost a 3-touchdown dog.
Tannehill's been playing well.
Right. Now it's a straight-up, you know, 1-touchdown spread, which shows you – that's the thing. Just when people start to sour on the Patriots, that's the time to play them in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
So you get that inside of 7, and I think this is the time to go with New England.
One team riding high, doing their typical September teaser fans.
This is the
nonsense.
Game, this is the game, John and Josh, where you see Brady not smile the whole game. He'll have his laser focus.
That little look that he gives when his head's tilted down. He looks like a coyote.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then he'll go straight to the bench and put his helmet on. And, you know, he's all business this game, I think.
And if not, this is the time, well, maybe the Patriots aren't for real. This is where we're going to find out right now.
How many times have we said that?
We're going to see which one of these two teams is a fraud, because I believe one of them is, and I don't think it's the Patriots. I can't believe it's 6.5. That's the scary thing. It's begging you to take the Patriots.
It's begging you. So you like the Dolphins?
No, I love the Patriots. In this spot. I hate the Patriots. But, yeah, this is such a perfect spot for them to come home and just wax the Dolphins. I didn't mean to say wax the Dolphins. Let me get that straight. But yeah, that's –
wax the Dolphins?
If you don't know that reference, someone out there is laughing.
No, I know.
I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah. So, all right.
I'm good. Keep going.
Keep going. Leave me alone. Colts at home versus the Texans. Colts laying 1.5. Totals 46.5. You know, I look at this Texans team, and I really thought the Texans were, you know, going to challenge maybe Jacksonville in the AFC championship game, but you know, I don't know what
in the divisional East.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, Joe. I don't know. I mean, I look at this game, and all of a sudden, you know, after a couple of games, you have Andrew Luck. You know, I guess he's playing okay. You know,
can't throw a Hail Mary.
Small favorite records 1-2. You know, Texans 0-3 against the spread. Nothing looks right for the Texans. I'm going to take the Texans in this spot, Josh.
Yeah, I kind of like that play as well, if only because they're in sort of a desperate situation. They've played fairly well so far. I've had a lot of tough breaks, right? Just lost at the Titans, but they've been right there. I believe the Colts have been a little bit better than expected, but you realize even back when Luck was healthy, the Texans were the ones always giving him fits regardless. And just based on that situational spot with the desperation kicking in, I sort of like the Texans as well.
There's a lot of desperation there. My only concern is, I watched most of that Colts-Eagles game, flipping back between that and Tiger last weekend. Was it just that the Eagles were playing bad, or are the Colts actually a viable NFL team again? I think they might be. This looks a little light. The Texans have shown you nothing, obviously. They're desperate here. I think they're the better team, but I'm going to take the Colts here. I think it's really light at 1.5 at home. Luck's looked good. He can't throw the deep ball in to put in Jacoby Brissett for that final Hail Mary, but
that's funny, isn't it?
I like the Colts here. I think they've shown what they've shown this year. I think they're back to not being elite, obviously, but I think they're viable right now.
It's funny what you say. Bringing Brissett in to throw that pass, John, it kind of lets the league know
the safeties
don't have to.
That's right.
They don't have to cover maybe 50 plus. You know, as opposed
you can take a few yards off that cap.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Falcons at home versus Cincinnati. Falcons laying 5.5, totals 51.5. I know that the Falcons are missing 3 defensive starters, you know, and even though the Bengals, you know, Dalton played pretty well last week, he still threw for a buttload of yards. And I think this is going to be a shootout. This is probably going to end up being one of my favorite plays, I think, when we get later to the end of the card, which we'll post after the show on Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. But I'm going to be playing this game over. And I have no interest, honestly, guys. I have no interest in taking the Falcons at plus 5.5.
Panthers were my top play last week, and they ended up covering, but the Bengals gave them all they wanted. I was really surprised at the level of play the Bengals had. Now they have go back on the road again to another NFC South opponent. It's going to be tough. But I like the Bengals here just to keep this game close. The Falcons haven't shown me anything. Who are they to be laying 5.5 to a quality at this point Cincinnati Bengal team? I like the Bengals, Ken.
Yeah, you got Cincinnati's 2-1, John.
Yeah.
Josh?
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot either way. I've heard quite a bit of sentiment, especially early in the week at the higher number. I know there was a lot of support for the Bengals plus 5. When you look at the Falcons last week, they kind of let one slip away against their rival, the Saints. Figure they're in a bit of a bounce-back spot. And the Bengals have definitely improved. They're better. probably than many expected. But just given that, I think I'd have liked the Bengals more had the Falcons won last week. Right?
Yeah.
But since they let that one slip away, I think they're eager to get on track. Having said that, as you mentioned, I'm not comfortable laying that many points, so it's probably a pass for me. But it's one of those, if I had to, I might do take the Falcons on the teaser just to win type of thing. But it could be a close game.
Packers versus the Bills, 9.5. You know, John, we talked a little bit about this game, you know, and about angles and motivation. Yeah, motivation, I guess, is a good word to use here. You know, and you have the Packers coming off, you know, what happened last week.
Sure.
And then you have the Bills coming off what happened last week. You know, this is a perfect spot, I think, just for the Packers to get right offensively. I know we're not going to make a lot of money. We're definitely not going to make a lot of money laying 9.5 points, you know, because you really don't know the condition of Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams is, you know, he's banged up too. You know, Aaron Jones is back. But, you know, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now. But still, Aaron's going to play. He, you know, that loss last week, you know, he's going to play, guys.
Yeah.
Packers at home, Buffalo traveling on the road in Lambeau. This is a 10-point teaser play for me. I'll be playing the Packers, you know, teasing them down in a 10-point teaser, three-team 10-point
teaser.
That
for sure.
Where you lay minus 120, and the Packers are going to get this victory at home. I 100% would not be surprised if the Packers win this game by three touchdowns.
Well, exactly what we thought last week with them going to Minnesota. So much like the Bengals traveling 2 weeks in a row to an NFC opponent, the Bills are doing the same. Now, can they repeat the performance they had last week? I don't think there's any chance in hell they're going to be up 24-0 against the Packers in Lambeau. But at 9.5, they were getting 17.5 last week from the Vikings. So this is a full 8-point
swing. Touchdown discount, yep.
Are they worthy of that? No.
Exactly. I just put it, if you flip the order of the games, what would this have been last week? Packers probably minus 13.5. You see what
15,
I mean?
15, maybe. I mean, right. I think it would have been over two touchdowns.
I believe for sure there's an instant discount because with the public's short memory,
yeah,
they realize, wow, Bills, they're not that bad. And the Bills still, I think, aren't as bad as people thought. Having said that, I think there is a tinge of a discount here where you're laying less with the Packers than you would have otherwise. And even though you don't want to get carried away laying 10 points, I do think there's a discount on Green Bay.
Much like the 6.5 that with the Patriots against the Dolphins, I think they're begging you to take the Packers again, which is scary, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, me too. I have no interest in the Bills going on the road and trying to compete in this game.
Yeah.
You know, before the Bills upset the Vikings last week, they were talking about, well, who would win if Alabama played Buffalo? So we were getting those comparisons.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I agree. The Bills would destroy Alabama. I mean, hands down. There's no, you know, we can argue that.
I mean, 17-10.
No. And so this is let's not forget who the Bills really are, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Bills team that's in a rebuilding
that
mode.
Just made the playoffs.
Yeah,
that may have found their franchise quarterback.
Maybe.
So don't forget those points as well.
Aaron,
if I can play
Rodgers,
Bills advocate.
Aaron Rodgers.
I get it.
Yeah, give me the Packers all day long. Preview to the Thanksgiving game, guys. Thanksgiving Day game, Lions Cowboys. I mean, what's going on here?
I know. We need some
they're playing again on Thanksgiving?
No, right? They're playing this week. You know, I see. Yeah, they're playing. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, Josh.
Yeah, you said it was a preview to the Thanksgiving game.
Well, it just always.
I hope they never change that. That's one thing. I'm glad they added the night game too, so you can get some variety. But I love the Lions Cowboys at home that day.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting, you know, stat here. You know, Dallas, if you had told me at the beginning of the year Dallas's defense was going to be ranked the number three defense in the NFL, I would think, oh, my God, we're going to be undefeated.
3-0.
Yeah, exactly, me being a Cowboys fan. But, you know, something's going on. There's three things going on right now. First of all, we're banged up on the offensive line.
That's 100%. Paramount right there.
Second, we don't have anybody who can catch the dadgum ball.
I don't think I've ever said paramount.
They don't. Nobody can catch the ball. There's no wide receivers in Dallas. You know, they went out and got Hearns. You have Cole Beasley, Jason Witten retired.
Dez Bryant.
Gone. No, they're all I know.
Jason Witten. How about we get these guys back?
I know, John.
I don't mean to say we with the Cowboys.
No, I know what you're saying. And the third thing is I'm not 100% sure that 2 years ago I really thought Dak Prescott was the answer. I'm not so sure anymore, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's missing a lot of throws, making a lot of bad decisions, you know. And then we have the Dallas defense. Dallas is the number three defense in the NFL. They've yet to intercept a pass this year. That's absolutely crazy.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
No, you're right, Ken. They've been rock solid on defense. I did look into this one quite extensively for Sportsline, but on the offensive side, as you alluded to.
Let me throw one more stat in there, Josh. I'm going to turn it right back over to Prescott. Dak Prescott, he's failed to pass for 200 yards in 9 of his last 11 games.
Jeez.
200 yards.
Right.
A lot of that's the
– I've seen quarterbacks do that left-handed.
Right. So they have, as you mentioned, a bunch of basically
Steve
number
Young,
three type receivers, guys who
Mark Brunell,
aren't bad but aren't good
Michael
enough
Vick
to be, you know, your game-breaking type of receivers. If you look at last week against Seattle,
Chris Sims,
it was similar to their game against them last year. Ezekiel Elliott actually had a good game, over 100 yards. He's basically your only real weapon, and when it gets to like third and five or six, they can't be counted on to move the ball very well. Ken, another concern you might be aware of, the Cowboys have played some real solid defense so far, but Sean Lee is out injured with a hamstring.
Yeah, that came out today.
And you know
point
what happened last year? It was crazy.
Hold the fort. Sean Lee's hurt? There's no way.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it was crazy, their splits with him last year, how important he is to the defense. When he was out, they were 1-5 straight up and against the spread. With him in there, they were, whatever it was, 7-2.
I agree. And the Boise kid's getting the start this week.
Van Der Esch?
Yeah. So with that being said, you know, I look at this game and just I'm going to take Dallas in this game. No, I'm not. Who am I lying? 3.5 is just too many points. This is way
like
too many
Lions
points. I like the Lions, too.
They're playing well. From the second half on, where they got me against the Niners, to absolutely dismantling the Patriots.
Yeah.
3.5, I'll take that.
So just, you got me against the Niners, too.
It's 3.5 on the card, 3 on the board. So if you're looking to play Detroit, play it off the half-point parlay card. If you're looking, you got to throw a couple other games into it, but you can find them. But if you like the Cowboys, you got to play it off the board at -3. So with that being said, we got about 20 seconds. So in this game right here, Dallas can't score, guys. They can play defense and can't score. The total in this game, 43.5. This is one of those games where Dallas might just have an offensive explosion somehow. But with that being said, I don't know. This is probably going to end up being a pass game for me. I can't figure out Dallas right yet. So it's going to be a pass. So this is the time we have to head off early for traffic. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back at the
Cup
County.
Back.
And we're back on 94.5 FM. We got to fire through the slates. We just got to talk a little bit about golf. Jacksonville at home versus the Jets. This number is 7.5, guys. And Sam Darnold's getting ready to go up against a defense.
Yep. That's the thing, Ken. I think Jacksonville had a bit of a letdown spot last week. You know, it happens. Teams, again, in the NFL get caught up. You realize some of those tweets or whatnot that were sent out about all the underdog parlays you could have had, I mean, all of them winning outright, right? Tennessee was about a 10-point dog. They won. We know what happened with Buffalo. That was just one of those Sunday of the dogs where they come out of nowhere and win outright. This one here, I still am a believer that Jacksonville's better than the projections and whatnot. I think it's a terrible matchup for the Jets. And normally you wouldn't want to lay the points with the Jaguars, but figure Darnold's good for probably a pick six. Another one. I'm serious. I think Jacksonville rolls him. And here's the thing about Darnold. I feel like he was exposed in that Browns game because early on they had some success, but I felt like it was really good coaching in the sense that you could tell the game plan was designed to keep – everything's simple for him, and that's fine. But it was a bunch of bubble screens, right? The 3-yard slants, things that Darnold can throw well, where get the ball out immediately. There's no problems. But later on in the game, when you flip the script, and suddenly they're down, and now you got to go like 80 yards to get something. I mean, at least at this point in time, he's incapable of doing that because, again, the whole game plan's designed for short, safe throws. He doesn't do well under the pass rush. Turnover basically waiting to happen. I still think of this class, he's going to be, you know, Mark Sanchez part two, only probably quicker. I think the guy's a bust waiting to happen, but nonetheless, yeah, Jacksonville, 7.5 is a big NFL number, but I think they get there.
I do too, especially, you know, putting up 6 points against the Titans. I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't see any of that game, but I don't know how it happened.
I went back and forth. I was watching, I'll be honest, I was watching the golf mostly last weekend, but I was going through the football as well. I have Jags, Rams, Super Bowl. I'm holding to that. I still think that they're the best team in each conference at this point. And I expect this is just a bad spot for the Jets. It just really is. And I think the Jets are improved. I think the Jets can play a little bit of defense, but the Jaguars can play a whole lot of defense, and Sam Darnold's in a lot of trouble here. And I'm with you with some sort of defensive score the Jaguars will get here. And if you add that caveat, just add that 7 points right there, lay and a half is how I'm looking at it. Give me the Jaguars.
You know, you look at the three games.
Shut out.
The three games by the Jets this year. You know,
27 enough.
They open up the year on the road at Detroit, and they win 48-17.
Yeah.
You know, and so here we go. Darnold's the real deal. The next 2 weeks, they score 12 and 17 points. Now they have to go on the road and play the best defense in the NFL.
John, shut out.
You're exactly right.
Sonner special.
What is the total?
Total is
38.5.
38.5.
No.
I said 27-0.
Okay.
Jaguars.
All right.
I'm sticking to it. I'm doing a Sauner special.
10-point teaser.
Which is nice favorite.
10-point teaser, Jack. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Bears at home versus Tampa Bay. Bears laying 2.5 in this game. Total 46.5. You know, Tampa Bay is a slow start away from last week from being undefeated. I mean, they came back in that game. They played really well. What a great football
game.
Scared
the hell out of me.
What a great football game. They should have went for it on 4th and 10 instead of putting it away. They never got the ball back because basically I thought Tampa Bay was scoring at will at that point. And I like Tampa Bay to win this game outright. I mean, Trubisky and the Bears haven't been what everybody thought they would be. You know, look at me to find – I'm looking to find it. It just went to 3. So I'm actually going to take Tampa Bay plus 3 in this spot because I really think that Fitzpatrick's going to – he's already been named the starter. They're going to get their points.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I thought they were going to wait till game time and do something stupid, but he's earned this right, I believe. And he has won over the locker room. You don't want a knucklehead as your quarterback, and Jameis at this point is just a flat-out knucklehead. You can't have that. Going back to him at this point, I'd bet anything I had on the Bears. I believe in the Bears. I think Trubisky's going to be fine leading forward, but right now give me the Buccaneers. Coming off a horrible defeat. They should have beat the Steelers. They should have.
Well, I agree with what you said about Jameis. I would do that as well. I think they're doing the right thing, sticking with Fitzpatrick. But having said that, we're starting to see his cracks where it never lasts long. Some of those, that was a pretty disastrous first half. And I understand he ended up with 400-odd yards, really turned it around. But those throws, some of those where he's throwing it right into the guy's chest. He did that two or three times in a row, the pick six. I like the Bears here a little bit because I do believe Fitzpatrick,
lay the
as
points.
He does, he sort of comes back to earth. I just think because of that Bears defense, Ken, where you've got Khalil Mack and friends rushing him, I believe – Fitzpatrick will be error-prone again, probably have another couple picks. And I just feel as though based on the early week where you had all the value on the Bucs as a big dog against the Eagles and the Saints, now it's reversed. Now they're getting their respect, but I kind of feel like Chicago's the value side.
All right. Eagles traveling to Tennessee, playing the Titans. Eagles laying 3.5 on the road, totals 41.5. You know, do you guys think the Eagles have a Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah.
A little bit, for
do
sure.
You?
And, Ken, as I mentioned last week, the adjustment to Carson Wentz, you can't expect him to just pick up where they left off.
A little rust.
An adjustment to the style of quarterback as well. Wentz is more the pro-style downfield type, whereas with Nick Foles, they were running a bunch of the quick screens, things like that, quarterback-designed runs, where Wentz can run, but you don't call plays, especially if he's coming back off the injury.
Yeah.
They were pretty fortunate to escape against the Colts, and they do appear to have a little bit of that hangover, Ken. With that, the Titans I went back and forth with because over the summer and the offseason, I thought the Titans would be pretty good. They came out of the gates not so great, but again, they've had a couple big wins now, upset the Jags last week, upset the Texans the week before. So in this spot, until Philadelphia figures it out, I think it's too many points. I take the home dog.
Yeah, I do feel better with Carson Wentz with a game under his belt here, but it's the Titans are playing really, especially on the defensive end of the ball. Titans at home, 3.5, I think it's a no-brainer to take the Titans here. But that being said, you know, Carson Wentz being there, game under his belt, I think from here henceforth, Josh, I think the Eagles are gonna soar, so to speak. But in this spot, give me the Titans.
You know, Titans coming off a big win. Philadelphia's, you know, Ajayi has a broken back. You know, but they're
is that bad for a running back?
Yeah, exactly, for a running back. They're talking about Alshon Jeffrey coming back, you know, this week, maybe getting some snaps. So with that being said, it would be Eagles or pass for me in this spot. They got to get on track sometime. And the way the Titans played last week, I kind of look for maybe a slight letdown. Seattle traveling to Arizona, laying 3.5 on the road. Total's 38.5, Josh.
Well, this is the deal, right? Josh Rosen's playing. It's his first NFL start. I believe with Seattle, you got to look for spot value. I liked them last week because as down as they're expected to be,
Cowboys.
And you realize the defense has had, you know, all that turnover, but they're not awful when you realize they still have Bobby Wager, your Earl Thomas. It's not like they lost everybody. And the bottom line is it was a business decision to let someone like Richard Sherman go because they thought he lost a step. It wasn't like they didn't like having him there. It was one of those, you know, just reality stories of the NFL. If he was really highly paid, they thought he lost a step, let him go. Michael Bennett, same deal, basically. And so they're rebuilding, you know, the Seahawks are still a little bit on the offensive side. They struggle because so far Rashad Penny hasn't been the answer. But last week Carlson got 100 yards. And so I believe, you know, Seattle is one of those teams where you got to pick their spots, but they're not as bad as the line suggests. A quarterback, again, Rosen making his first start, I think is where they'll thrive. The Cardinals were in there last week, probably should have beat the Bears, didn't, but I'll take Seattle on this one.
On a teaser, I had that the Cardinals-Bears over 32. And with the Cardinals' two quick scores, I was like, okay, here we go. Nope, 16-14. I don't think the Seahawks should be laying the points on the road to anybody at this point, let alone a division foe. I know it's Josh Rosen's first start and everything, but I like the Cardinals here. I can't wrap my head around the Seahawks right now.
I'd be looking to bet the game under. Arizona gives up 131 yards a game on defense, rushing defense, and I think you're going to see a big dose of Chris Carson in this game and maybe a lot of ball control right like that. You know, so I kind of look for this game to go under the 38.5 points.
I like that as well.
Justin. Yeah, just watch for the defense. I think here's where Pete Carroll, I think, still schemes well defensively, but especially against a young guy like Rosen. As I sort of did to Dak last year when they picked him off a couple times in Dallas, watch for, you know, some of those disguised blitzes or things where it looks like they're coming and then they back out. What I think they'll try to do is, you know, get Rosen to panic where it looks like there's going to be pressure and then they, you know, the safety jumps the route type of thing. I just feel like Seattle probably gets a defensive score here and it puts them in good shape.
I could see that. I certainly could see that. Raiders at home laying 2.5 versus the 1-1 Cleveland Browns. 1-1-1 Cleveland Browns. 45.5 is the total. What do we have it on the board, Josh? Has it moved at all? It's actually 3. They shaded -120 towards the Browns. So it looks like, you know, a little bit of brown money right here. You know, they probably just went from 2.5 to 3, so they're trying to take back on the Browns a little bit.
Right.
You know, I was reading some articles about the Jets, the Browns beating the Jets, and the Jets saying that, you know, that they didn't game plan for Baker Mayfield. You know, they said that, you know, they game plan for Taylor. He gets hurt. Baker comes in. They had no game plan for him, and he just threw the ball all over the yard and looked fantastic. So with that being said, you know, Baker's first start on the road in the black hole. You know, the Raiders aren't as bad as really.
They've been in every game.
They've been ahead at halftime in every game,
yeah.
And they still haven't figured out a way to win this game. So, you know, Josh, you like to throw out the what's the word you use when inflated or where you're getting – there's a term that you use. I just went blank on it. But I think that you're getting a little bit less inflated number on the Raiders right here. I think if you can get the Raiders at less than a field goal, I'm going to take the Raiders in this spot. I think the Raiders get a win here. I really do.
I think so, too. I it's a little ambitious at this point to expect the Browns to go on the road and get a victory against an opponent that, yeah, they haven't won a game yet, but they are still very quality. And they're not going 0-4, are they?
No, and put it this way, John, like you just mentioned, a couple bounces the other way. The Raiders, yes, they could, should almost be 2-1.
They should be 2-1.
They dominated the Broncos 3.5 quarters, let that slip away.
The greatness
of the
Rams.
They had the Dolphins down. Right, they're just outmatched by the Rams. Yeah.
But they were ahead at halftime.
Right, and same thing again with Miami, I thought was maddening because they had them beat. They're outplaying them
up and down the field.
A couple trick, you know, Miami went to the trick play that worked and then broke a run late. But the Raiders aren't that bad. And you're right, we're still wondering, are the Browns, you know, a couple weeks ago going to go winless again to basically a pick 'em with Oakland?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
On the road?
Right. Mayfield's first start. Yeah.
I'm a believer in Baker Mayfield. And,
so am I.
And I'm a believer in the talent level that the Browns do have. I'm just not a believer in Hugh Jackson. I almost said Hugh Jackman. I almost do that every time.
Him either. No, I'm a believer.
Yeah. I believe in Hugh Jackman. But, yeah, this give me the Raiders all day here.
Chargers at home versus the 49ers, laying 10.5, totals 46.5. Sorry, Niner fans, this is a get-well game.
That's rough, man.
This is a get-well game for the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, he's going to throw for 4 Bills. You know, you've got a brand-new quarterback coming in, going on the road.
Hold on. Why does that affect the Niners' defense, which has played pretty well up to this point, I believe?
No.
Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, you're wrong.
10.5 is a lot. You know I love my Los Angeles Superchargers. I can't lay 10.5 against a Niner team that, yeah, it's not looking great right now. Steve Young still thinks they're going 8-8.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know what Steve Young knows about it, but 10.5, no.
So the Rams or the Niners defense is ranked 22nd, and their average QBR rating for their opponent is 102.
Well, that's the Chiefs, man. The Chiefs are an absolute juggernaut.
Okay.
Take the Chiefs out. With everybody we talk about, can we just take Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs out of it?
What's that all about? With that being said, I just think with the quarterback, the change in the quarterback, and you know, you've got running backs are banged up right now.
Yeah.
You know, they do have Goodwin coming back, which is a good thing. But you know, with all that being said, I just think this is a really, really bad spot for the Niners. 10-point teaser. I'm gonna throw it in there, guys.
I'll give you the 10-point teaser.
Give me the Chargers. Josh, real quick, we got to go to commercial break. You got anything to say about this game?
Yeah, I think it's too many points. As you mentioned, C.J. Beathard started a good portion of last year as a rookie. He was on like fourth-round pick. He was thrown in there unexpectedly. We didn't know what he was doing. He played well in the exhibition season. Has the respect of the locker room for what he went through last year. I believe he's not awful. And they said, you know, with Garoppolo in there, it probably would have been seven, so he's worth 3.5. With that, I do think the Niners are competitive in this one. It's too many points.
I agree.
All right, let's head off to our last commercial break and come back. We'll continue talking football. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. We're just reading the article. Josh actually posted on his Sportsline that you liked the dog in this game, and you were the only one. You went against the flow, and here you are with a 14-point lead, getting 14.5. Good job, Josh.
Thanks,
as
man.
Documented in black and white, in ink, for the whole world to see.
That's right. I told you once it got over 14, plus 14.5, I looked into it a little bit. It's like Tulane isn't very good, but for some reason they're one of those. They're a sticky home underdog. Memphis is never, you know, they put up all the gaudy offensive numbers. For some reason they struggle on the road, and I just felt like, yeah, this is going to be a closer game. 14.5 is too much.
Saints traveling to play the Giants, laying 3.5 on the road. Totals 15.5. Saints 2-1 this year. The Giants are 1-2. Giants played a little bit better last week. You know, Eli played decent. You know, yeah. But it all goes back to whether or not that they can protect him. He still got sacked a few times. I think he threw for 297 yards and 2 touchdowns, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. So, but you know, you look at this Saints team. You know, they're coming off that big win in Atlanta. Now they're traveling to New York. I mean, totally two different monsters right here, Josh.
Outdoors, probably colder. I agree. The Saints had to have that one last week as well, a huge divisional game, and they were down most of the way, found a way to claw back in there, get that game-tying touchdown, win it in overtime. This rates as a letdown spot, but they typically aren't good, you know, outdoors on the road. And, right, the Giants, I don't know if they fully turned the corner, but I like the points, the underdog.
Well, yeah. We go back to where the Saints are rated defense, 30th in the NFL, 421 a game, 336 through the air.
Good Lord.
I think this is it's a great spot for Eli and Beckham and Sterling Shepard, if you're looking for sleepers, a slot receiver right there this weekend. The big tight end is going to be out 2-4 for the Giants. So the other guy, what's his
Evan
name?
Ingram. Grant
Evan Ingram. Ingram.
Touchdown UCLA, great catch.
But with that being said, John, I'm with Josh here. I would only back the Giants at home getting 3.5.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Going in, this is the hardest game on the board for me because I was leaning Saints, but I knew better. You guys saying that about the Giants. I think I'm with you guys because I really didn't have a big opinion on it. I'll ride with you, guys.
All right. John?
Yes.
Take a drink of your sixth beer since we
Fourth.
Started. Banquet hand grenades. Look at that. My man can drink. He can put away some.
Oh, whatever.
Steelers. Sunday night.
Steelers.
At home. Playing the Ravens.
I remember them.
So, Pittsburgh, 3.5. Coming off that win, coming off the win last week, they're 1-1-1 now. Huge game versus Baltimore. Huge, huge game for Baltimore. Steelers laying 3.5, 51.5 is the total. John,
take the dog every time in this matchup, no matter who it is, where it is, when it is. Take the dog. Ravens will lose by 3.
You're usually getting more points, though. Sometimes the thing, as you know, is maddening about Baltimore in these spots. Sometimes they can outplay Pittsburgh for 3 quarters, be up 10 points, and still find a way to lose by 4.
Yeah, it happens.
And
it happens in the way.
For some reason, they cannot close ever in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers getting off on track a little bit with the Buccaneers, that was a big victory. They obviously still have the offense. And given Baltimore has the number one rated defense right now, I get that. But I think Steelers will get – they've played some pretty weak offensive teams. I think the Steelers will get what they want. To me, I'd like to. 3 points isn't enough for me to take. So I'd probably only have Pittsburgh.
The ship has been righted a little bit, at least on the offensive end. That Steelers defense is just an embarrassment to Steelers fans everywhere from what we as Steelers fans are used to.
Right.
You know, and it goes more than just the Chase Ear injury.
Does Baltimore have enough weapons to really do damage?
Flacco plays well against the Steelers. He always has. I'm sure he always will. He played it at Pitt before going to Delaware, you know, so he's comfortable there. And it's a Sunday night game, one of these primetime games with the Ravens and Steelers. It's a body bag game. It always is. That's why I say take the dog at all costs. The Ravens have looked like the better team thus far this year as it is. So I don't know. The Steelers have to show me something defensively before I can get back behind them as an absolute contender in the AFC, which they have the ability to be. But I like the Ravens here to keep this game close. I think the Steelers still pull it out. Chris Boswell, late field goal, something like that. You know, 27-24 type of game is what I have in mind.
You know, look at this total, guys.
I said that without looking at the total. I didn't realize it was 51.
What did you say?
I said 27-24, and the total 51.5.
Yeah, I like this game to go under. You know, you look at the game last week where you had that huge total in the Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay game, you know, and I just don't think the Ravens are quite the offensive juggernaut that Tampa Bay is, and these teams.
You don't have to be against this atrocious Steelers defense.
Yeah, but you could. But you're going to see a lot of running the ball, John.
Yeah.
I'd be looking to play this game under the 51. I really, you know, a 24-17 game, something like that. 24-21, something like that. I think this game goes under pretty easily, Josh.
I hope so.
Yeah, especially like you mentioned, these Sunday night games. They tend to be in this rivalry more physical. I think you'll see more length of the field, time-consuming drives, and 51's pretty high for an NFL total. Wouldn't surprise me to see it.
Keep my eye on an Antonio Brown breakout game. He hasn't had one yet. He's had nice games, scoring touchdowns, getting catches. Juju Smith-Schuster has been fantastic. If Vance McDonald, you know, we saw the stiff arm the other night.
Oh boy!
If he's healthy, he's a big time weapon for them. So if as Le'Veon Bell's not even in the conversation anymore, so we just forget about that guy. But I expect something out of Antonio Brown prime time with the lights on again.
You know, John, you made the comment, too, earlier in the year when this first happened. You said that Le'Veon Bell will never take another snap in a Steeler uniform. And this was before the season even started.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of believe that still, don't you?
Just the way that the offensive line turned on him.
Yes.
It's very un-Steeler-like for that to happen. For
Villanueva to actually not have his back.
Well, and Ramon Foster and David DeCastro, guys like that, Marquise Pouncey started off as if he did. And then if you don't show up, to, you know, fight, go to wars, quote unquote, with your teammates, man. I don't know if you get welcomed back, especially, you know, James Conner's playing very well in his stead, and I know Le'Veon Bell is a generational talent, but he's lost the locker room. You know, I know Antonio Brown came to his defense, but Big Ben hasn't said much, but I don't think you can go back to him.
All right, I kind of agree with that. I think he's gone. I think he goes to the Jets, like you said, John. Yeah. Chiefs, Monday Night Football, traveling to Denver. This is the perfect spot for the Denver Broncos getting 4.5 at home. Everybody's, you know, the Chiefs 3-0 against the spread, you know, just dismantling people. And I totally get it, Mahomes, but Mahomes cannot keep up at this pace. And I think that, you know, this is a rivalry that no matter how good or bad one team is, John, kind of like the Steelers and the Ravens, the game tends to play close. Monday night home dogs? What's that run, Josh? 80%?
I agree with that completely. And not to mention, if you look at the Chiefs, it's clear they started last year like this, just different. Like Alex Smith was having his career year. And then, they went from 5-0 to losing 5 in a row, barely sneaking into the playoffs. They obviously putting up the gaudy numbers and whatnot, but here's the thing to keep in mind with the Chiefs. They've got to keep it going. They're best offense in the league right now, worst defense. They're giving up more than their share. No, I'm serious. They are.
Look
with the Niners, right, at this point. But you can't be like, you know, that fast break on turf, right, like the old Oregon college teams that just give up a bunch of points and expect to outscore.
To piggyback on your statement, they're giving up 474 yards a game in offense.
Right.
474.
And we've seen Denver. It's not like they're gangbusters. Like Keenum's been an upgrade, but they're not lighting it on fire. But still, anyone apparently can score on the Chiefs a little bit. So, as you mentioned, kind of key number, 4.5, the whole public world probably be on Kansas City Broncos. Loom is the right play.
Absolutely. I love the Broncos in this spot, John.
Yeah, it's tough. Just seeing what the Chiefs have done, I'm kind of at the place, prove me wrong until that happens.
Yeah, you know, the bad beat, John, the huge bad beat that we have is that I have Case Keenum to lead – not Case Keenum, Patrick Mahomes to lead the NFL in total yards. Why did I bet total touchdowns?
Yeah,
I mean, not only that, he's like still a few hundred yards back, but he's throwing like 11 or 12 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I should be winning this bet right now.
It's really impressive. I still think he have a really legitimate shot to get to it.
So that'd
it's
be
a
fantastic.
Great bet. And it's at 40-1, is that correct? Yeah.
Thanks, thanks, Jesse James, for the little 40-1.
It was a great eye to catch something like that. And, man, until the Chiefs prove me wrong, I'm riding with the Chiefs.
All right. John, real quick, Josh, let's talk about golf. What a disastrous second half of the day today that we got swept by Europe. You know, so right now it stands 5-3. Can we overcome this deficit, John?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take some doing. It's been 25 years since they won on European soil, obviously. But they have the horses. They really do. I think, you know, I have my USA Ryder Cup hat here, so obviously I'm speaking with my heart. But I think that they absolutely have the horses. I'm going to try to stay up as late as I can tonight and watch it. I don't have a lot going on tomorrow, so I think they can overcome, right?
Yeah, Spieth and Thomas are favored over Poulter and Rahm, so that's one of the early
Spieth
matchups.
And Thomas should be favored over any one of the universe.
Yeah, Reed and Woods are dogs to Molinari and Fleetwood. DJ and Ricky are minus 170 versus Hatton and Casey. And then who do we have in this one? Kopnik and Finau are minus 115 versus Sergio
Kepka,
excuse me, versus, this is all abbreviated, so versus, it looks like Rory and Sergio Garcia. So, you know, it's like they say, it's moving day tomorrow, guys. It's moving day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited about it. You know, it tees off. What time does it tee off tonight?
11 p.m.
11 p.m. We have 1 minute. Hey, let's give out our picks. We only got 1 minute. I'm going to give out my picks first. Kenny B., I'm going to go with Jacksonville, minus 7.5, Tampa plus 3. The Raiders minus 2. I'm going to go the Pack game over, and I'm also throwing Denver at plus 4. Mark Shannon, I didn't get his picks, but when I do, I'll post those. Hawk, what do you got?
I have the New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars, Baltimore Ravens. I like the Wolfpack game over. And give me Cal. I've been reading a lot about it. Give me Cal to beat Oregon tomorrow.
Josh?
I'll go Jaguars, Giants, Broncos. Oklahoma State for college.
All right. Well, and we're going to post these on our Facebook page. Kenny B., ESPN Sports Handicapping. These will be posted on that our Facebook page. We'll also throw some other games, too. So with that being said, I don't know if he said 30 or 10. How much? What did he say? 5-4. We'll see you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.